Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and podcasters, underdogs out there. I have got a special guest for you today. My youngest daughter, this is a Family Talk episode, London Waller. She is known as Kid Genius, too smart for her pants, sassy, attitude problem, you know, short stuff. Is there anything else I'm missing?
Not really, no.
Are you sure? Now, listen, for the listeners out there, I've got four beautiful kids, and each one of them are completely different. But the one that's most like me is London. Now, I'm not saying that because she scored like a 146 on her IQ and supposed to go to a gifted school. That might be part of it. But I say that because she gets aggravated fast. She's got a short fuse. She gets frustrated. She'll talk to people and she feels like they can't keep up. Therefore, she gets aggravated. All of her friends that she has good relationships with, she's so mature, much older. And so I think I can relate to a lot of that, London. So let's talk a little bit. Right now, you're 14 years old, correct?
Yep.
What's life like being London Waller at 14 years old?
It's a struggle. As much as struggles go for being 14, I feel like it's a big one.
Why though?
Because socially, I'm at a different maturity level. I obviously, you know, have some mental health related problems, which just make everything a lot harder. So being 14, as difficult as that can be, I feel like it's as difficult as it is.
So mental health, I think mental health issues run in our whole family, right? Everybody's got something a little different. You know, I went through some exercises with Hannah and Mackenzie, who are your two older sisters. I get pretty frustrated when you guys argue, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you explain that for the listeners? When you fight with your sisters, what happens? So how do I react?
You blow up, like another level of blow up. Because, I mean, I've seen you get mad and get like to your like next level. But for just when you see us fight, like it's a different kind of mad and it's intense. It's very big, very much yelling. There's a lot going on.
Okay. So you mentioned mental health and you mentioned you're 14, you're in school at Detroit Country Day,
mm-hmm.
which you're not a big fan of the school.
You
get
nope.
to be open and honest on my podcast. You get a free pass, not a teacher, not a cop. Nobody can get your ass, London. You get a free pass to talk free will on my episode. That's what this is about. So we have listeners out there that have kids that are 14. And we might even have some teenagers that listen to this. But it doesn't matter if you're 14 or you're 25 or you're 45 or you're 65. A lot of people have some issues going on. A lot of people have some insecurities. A lot of people have irritableness. A lot of people have depression. Let's talk about your childhood. You open for that?
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you start noticing you first had some mental health issues and what were they? How were you struggling with them?
The first time I feel like I noticed was when I was, I don't even know how old are you in fifth grade. Like you're like
9, 10.
That's probably when, because I went through such bad bullying, like physical. It was every day at school. It was, you know, people I thought they were like my best friends and, you know, they just completely turned their backs on me and it really sucked. And I think that's when it was a big red flag. Like, oh, like I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I'm so angry. I'm so sad. Like, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do with all of this emotion. So I think that was like the big turn point for me. Like, okay.
So fifth grade, a lot of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were going through precocious puberty, right? For the listeners out there don't know what that is where you started your period at 9 years old, a little too young, right?
Well, you start puberty early. I started puberty at 4 years old.
But you had your period at 9.
Yep, fourth grade.
So we had to reverse that. You had to take a shot from a endocrinologist, correct?
Yep.
And that created some issues for you. What kind of issues?
The biggest one was weight gain. When I was, you know, way younger before all of that, I was a very tiny child. Like, I was very skinny. I had straight hair. You know, my hair is always short. I had light brown hair. Well, once puberty hit and I got on that shot, everything changed. I went from being this tiny kid to like huge. Like I was not small. And it was really hard because, you know, when you're in, because fifth grade was middle school in that year, when you're in middle school, like people are harsh and they're very judgmental. So that's probably why that was my biggest red flag, is because I knew that even though I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin, I thought that no one else would say it to me. And them saying that to me and me not knowing how to react to it was like really bad.
Well, I can tell you during those years, you really kept a positive face. I mean, we could never notice that there was something going on. You know, you were really well, you did a really good job of not showing that emotion. What was that like to make sure nobody knew you were upset?
It was exhausting. Obviously, you know, when you feel like so bad about yourself and, you know, you have people telling you what you're already thinking, it's hard to get out of bed and it's hard to hang out with people and it's hard to like even do like simple things such as like eating full meals. Like I thought, you know, even though I was a binge eater, I could sit there, play video games all day and just binge eat whatever. It was still hard to think of food because I knew I was like, okay, well, I'm already big. So if I eat, it's just going to make it worse. So.
Yeah. I hate that you had to go through that, but you know, I want to share with the listeners and the viewers that we moved here in Michigan in 2018. What grade were you in then? Fifth, sixth?
I was in sixth, going into sixth grade.
And I remember moving here and you just got off the shot, right? And so you were excited to get off that shot and kind of be normal and not have the weight gain and the issues. And I remember a kid in sixth grade that came in and really took the world by the horns. I mean, you came in here and you started running. Nobody in our family runs. So listeners know, if anybody in our family is running, there's a frickin' problem, right? Some shit is going down. Something's on fire. You better run with us. But London was all of a sudden running. We would move to Michigan. We're like, what is she doing? I'm going to run. And you were just running. And then you would work out. And you were just so motivated. And you didn't say anything about it. And you just changed. I mean, you shed like 30 or 40 pounds like that. And I was so proud of you because you were in sixth grade. Nobody forced you to do anything. You didn't diet really. I mean, you just ate smarter.
I never dieted.
Yeah, you literally just worked your ass off. What did that feel like to take control of a problem that was holding you down, that was bothering you? What was that like to hold on to that and try to change it?
It felt really good, you know, looking in the mirror and not seeing what I saw before. But I did, obviously, like, I exercised at home, but I even did sports at school because I wanted as much physical activity as I possibly could.
You were in
did,
swim, too. Like, okay. Swim was cool. But you were in swim in North Carolina. Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing. It didn't do anything.
Well, you got a shit ton of muscle and you could swim really fast. Yeah. But you came here and you shed all that weight. And, you know, I remember your first year here and you were flourishing with friends. It was the wildest thing. I was like, look at her. I would tell your mom, like, wow, London has really come into her own. And I was so happy for you. I was so excited for you. And you seemed to be in an element of happiness for a while. And then seventh grade happened. What happened?
Seventh grade was rough. Over the summer of, you know, going into seventh grade, I had been distanced from a lot of my close friends because they all kind of just, you know, didn't really care about me. They kind of just put me to the side. I was kind of like I was like an opportunity friend. Like they looked at me as like, okay, well, if I have no one else to hang out with, I'll hang out with London. So it really sucked. So I just didn't really hang out with anyone, but my best friend.
And it hurt your feelings,
time,
I'm sure.
Oh, terrible. I was so sad. But after the first maybe 2 months of school, I had been struggling finding who I was after sixth grade because the girl I was best friends with in sixth grade, her and I had a fallout again and she wasn't going to my school. So I was kind of at a loss of, you know, my partner in crime. I guess that was what I would call her. She was, I mean, even though we fought, you know, she was still my best friend. So I started to get into just, you know, watching anime because that's, you know, every teenager goes through some sort of phase like that. And I was really open about it. I didn't really care. It's just kind of like, you know, it's something that I enjoy and I don't really mind if people know. And for some reason, all of the popular girls that, you know, they didn't like me because of my ex-best friend. And they kind of just blew it out of the water. And it would get to the point where they'd physically, like, you know, shove me in the hallways, or they would be like, oh my God, why do you watch anime? That's so weird.
Now, let me stop you there. So I want listeners to know, listen, I've got four kids. Each one's completely different. But both of your sisters who are older than you are scared of you. Their comments to me are, right? Well, I'm not messing with London unless it's me and Kenzie, or I'm not messing with London unless it's me and Hannah. Like, you're kind of a bully. You're kind of scary, right? You're strong. You're very forthgoing. You know, you take no shit, no prisoners type of kid. For you to get pushed at school and not do anything, I remember you telling me, was like, what? Like, what? Explain what happened. You have to say names, but like, explain when you were pushed, why you didn't retaliate. Why do you just let it go?
I remember it was lunchtime, and obviously, you know, this is before COVID hit. So we were all standing in line waiting for, you know, to go into the lunch cafeteria area. And I was standing there alone because, you know, I was in B lunch that day and I didn't have any friends. So I was just kind of like, okay, like whatever. And I remember the whole group of girls that hated me, they were all kind of sitting there and they were all giggling and I was really confused. So I just kind of like turned the other way and I was just kind of trying to be independent. And they kind of nudged me. And then I was like, okay, I just let that one go. I was like, maybe it was an accident. I don't really know. They did it again and they were giggling. And then all I hear is, you know, comments being made. I hear remarks. And I'm just kind of like, okay, cool. The reason I didn't retaliate is because I didn't want to like lower myself to that level. Is that I know at the end of the day that I don't find a problem with what I was watching anime. I don't find a problem with that. And if they do, that's on them. And I kind of do wish now that I did something because it was rough. It was really bad.
Well, we would talk about it. And I said, look, and I tell you and I tell your siblings, I never want you guys to start a fight ever. But if someone's going to put their hands on you, you better finish it, right? Sometimes you got to put somebody in their place. Sometimes a bitch is a bitch. I told you that. Sometimes you got to let them know. I mean, this show, it's fright. Yeah, you can't say this stuff, but I can. But listen, that sometimes yeah. You just got to let somebody know, like, yo, I've had enough, right? I'm the type I take, and then it's okay. Now we're going to dance. Now we got a problem because I've had enough. And you have that same mentality, but you really did take the high road. And I'm proud of you for that because you did that, you didn't stoop. You know, we as a parent, you want your kids to be better than you. And I went to 5 high schools for fighting. Like I bounced from school to school to school for throwing down, had good grades, didn't do drugs, but I had a fighting problem. Right? I fought everybody and anybody I could. Never started a fight, but I was, okay, you want to throw? Let's go. I'm glad that you didn't do that. And I couldn't understand. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, why would you allow that? And you were like, you don't understand. There's a bunch of them. I don't want to just beat somebody up and something happen. But what I want you to understand, the listeners to understand, is that when somebody says something bad about somebody, there is one of two things. They are very, very insecure about themselves, or they're very jealous of something that you have or you're doing that they can't and won't and couldn't have. That's a fact. And when you get a group of them, London, you're a powerful human being. You're a powerful female. You're going to do big and great things. Every one of my kids are spectacular in their own little ways of the things that they're going to accomplish. And I don't mean accomplishments by making money or running a company or taking on the world or being a president. everybody's accomplishments and success fills their own thing. Hannah wanted to be a mom. She's a mom of two beautiful kids. She wants to open up a small business with her mom soon. Like, you know, Kinsey wants to travel the world. You know, you really want to take on the world and I think empower and serve people. You're the best arguer we have. And you have the highest intelligence when it comes to book smarts. Your sisters would argue your street smarts isn't as good as theirs. That's the argument. What I would tell you this.
They're not wrong.
Well, okay. Well, what I would say, London, is this, is when a group of girls or guys, when listeners out there, when this kind of stuff happens, they're so intimidated, they need a group to mock you. They're so chicken shit that they need a group to pick on you because they can't handle your maturity, your intelligence, your well-being. The whole way you carry yourself is so intimidating that they need 2, 3, 5 of them. Think about that. I would be flattered. You know, I always say you got to love your haters. I fucking had shirts made. Love your haters. You need to wear something like that because listen, if they're not talking about you, and they're focusing on themselves, then they're growing. But when they're talking about you and they're hating on you and they're worried about what you're watching, what you're wearing, what you look like, what you're doing, they are only focused on you. They're not growing. And you get to focus on you and you get to grow. And here's what happens. They're fucking stopped right there on the racetrack and you're still going in life. And everything in school may seem to you and some of the listeners that might be kids out there or have kids, it may seem like that's the whole world, and it's not. It is a speck in the entire world that you're going to live in. It is a very fond little spot. Like it's a fingernail. If your whole body is your life, that's a fingernail moment. That's it. And it may seem like it's the entire thing. I'm here to tell you it's not. I've been bullied. I've been ignored. I've been picked on because I was broke. I know you guys get picked on because, you know, daddy's money and all that stuff and the cars we drive. I get it, right? Kinsey talks about it all the time. People are like, but that's because they're jealous. They're jealous because their parents didn't work their asses off as much as I did. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they're jealous because they're not as pretty as you. Maybe they're jealous because their parents got divorced. Maybe they're jealous because they got to get up and shovel shit every day. We don't know what their jealousy is, nor do we have to care, London. What we have to care about is working on ourselves and being good to people. As long as we work on ourselves and we're good to people, good things will eventually happen. That's a fact. Now, when we're worried about other people and we're playing their game, you're not growing, London. You're stuck. You're stagnant. You are just like them. You're withering and living through them. Nobody should even enjoy your breath of you living through somebody. They should pay attention to you and you should put on a show and do your thing. And that's where I'm like kind of proud of you because you're somewhat of a lone wolf. And sometimes you're depressed about it. Sometimes you're down about it. But you toughen up, dude. You handle your shit. I mean, you deal with it. You argue better than anybody. I'll be like, I'll hear you and Kinsey go at it about politics. She's hardcore right. You're more left center. And I'm like, yo. And I got to be like, well, London makes a good point. And then it's, oh, dad, you're a liberal. No, it's a good point. Like, it's a good point. So, you know, you're really good at that. I wouldn't change a thing, London. You got to focus on being you. God gives everybody attributes. Even those haters and those bullies out there that seem like buttholes, they've got attributes. They're just wasting their time because they're in awe of you. That's what happens. And, you know, for listeners out there that may know you, this is a gut check for them if they hear it. This is them looking in the mirror. If they even utter your name, they're hating. If it's not a good thing, they're hating. And why would they waste their energy on you if they weren't insecure or they weren't jealous? I mean, would you do that about somebody? Would you waste your energy talking crap about somebody?
No. There's no point in that. It doesn't benefit me at the end of the day.
This episode is sponsored by Podbean Advertising Marketplace. Podcast advertising is one of the most cost-effective ways to advertise your product or service. Just like you're hearing this, thousands of people could be hearing your ad. For much less than radio or other media, you can reach local listeners with podcast advertising. Podcast awareness and listening continue to rise. In fact, according to Edison Research, podcast listeners have grown by 29.5% since 2018. Chartable reports, podcast listeners tend to have significantly higher household incomes than the U.S. average, and they tend to be significantly more educated than the U.S. average. This is great news because you can run your own ads on podcasts easily for an affordable price with Podbean Advertising Marketplace. Set a daily budget cap, analyze results, and modify campaigns on the fly. And the best part is, these ads are highly targeted. Choose your location, city, state, county, and target by customer interest. Get into the ears of your perfect customer without blowing your budget. Go to podbean.com/true underdog. That's podbean.com/true underdog to start boosting your business with podcast advertising now. The process is super easy. Podbean can have a professional voice artist record the ad for you, or you can upload your own audio. Again, that's podbean.com/true underdog to get your ads on podcasts just like this one. Let's talk about mental health, though. You're a very big advocate for mental health. You share things on your social media. Explain what you want listeners to know out there about mental health, especially in teens.
I mean, honestly, from a teenager's perspective, I think that them knowing that you're never going to be alone, no matter how alone it feels, you're not alone. Everyone feels a certain way sometimes. And I know I'm not the only person in the world who has my mental problems and feels the way I do. So therefore, I know I'm not alone. Plus, you know, I have family. And I think for adults that, you know, honestly, just being included in your kid's life, you know, even if they don't want you to.
I would agree. I think that's great advice. And I think the parents out there need to listen to that. All right, before we wrap it up, I want the listeners to hear how intelligent you are. So we're going to pick a subject and we're going to argue it. What's a subject we can argue? What do we not get along on?
Any suggestions?
Any suggestions? Well, I would say, why don't we discuss voter fraud? Who do you think should be able to vote? Do you think they need ID to vote? Do you think mail-in votes are okay? Where's your stance on that?
Okay. So is this inclusive of all of the issues with voting rights of right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, I mean, I don't think mail voting should be a thing unless, you know, you one, have health-related issues, you know, you struggle walking, you struggle being in public, you have some mental problem, you have something. I think that's a good reason to have it. Other than that, I mean, not really. If there's a physical problem, like if you can physically go and come back and you're fine and no one in your family is getting hurt or sick by it, then you need to go, because then that would make cheating or fraud less likely to happen, because, you know, then they have a track record of who's who, who's what, whatever, etc. Now with voting rights in general, I know that since if you go to, I'm pretty sure, is it jail or prison?
I don't know. You would go to jail. It's got to be a felony to go to prison.
Well, no. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you've been arrested, if you bond to jail.
Certain states, if you go to prison, you can't. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like
you can't vote. Yeah, like my papa, obviously. I don't think that's fair. I know White Boy Rick, one of our family friends, he can't vote.
Hold on. Listeners just went, what? Y'all friends with White Boy Rick? Now you got to talk about that. What's Rick like?
He is so sweet. He reminds me of like just this really sweet, you know, like older person that I would like imagine. He's like, oh, that's your grandpa. Like, oh, he's so sweet. Oh, whatever. You know, he's the same age as my grandparents.
But he's not. He's in between me and my dad. He's 51, 50.
Yeah.
But he calls himself Uncle Rick. Nice guy, though, right?
He's very sweet. Yeah.
He is. People don't know that about him. He's a good guy.
Yeah. When I tell my friends, they're like, is he not scary? Like, is he not like terrifying? No, it's the complete opposite. He's very sweet.
So voting rights. Okay. So we would agree on that. What about border? What do you think about the border?
Okay. That's okay.
Let's go. I'm down when you're ready.
I already know your opinion on that one. I know you don't agree with immigrants, but here's how
Let me start.
So okay, because you grew up in Arizona.
I grew up in Arizona. I have a lot of Hispanic friends where their parents did it the right way. They came from, you know, Mexico or, you know, and they did it the right way. Therefore, when Hispanics or Mexicans would come over from Mexico and take their jobs and work and, you know, whether they'd landscape or cut the palm trees or do whatever, you know, masonry, any kind of work for half or a third of the wages that, you know, my friends, family members and other people I knew and grew up with, when they were losing jobs to that, and then those people weren't paying taxes here, weren't doing anything or taking the money and going back home, that really bothered them because they did the steps, they took the time to do things right. What also bothered them is when the crime would happen. Sometimes, you know, there's bad people everywhere. People can't say, oh, just because they're from there, they're bad. That's not how this works. Like, I disagree when they're like, cops are bad and teachers are bad and doctor, like everybody has bad people. You can be bad from America. You can be bad from Canada. You can be bad from Mexico.
But bringing police into this is not fair. Don't bring police into it.
But my argument is, okay, my argument, and I'm bringing this in, is because people, I'm not labeling, but in every group setting, there's always a couple bad apples. And the bad apples that do the crime, they nothing happens. And in Arizona, a lot of kids were kidnapped for the cartel all the time. And somebody get caught and get arrested, they just send them back to Mexico. They get out, they don't get to go to jail. They come back and do it again. Those are the reasons why I believe in having a border. Every other country has border control. They don't allow people to come in and work and live. We're the only country that's like, it's okay. You can come here. Doesn't matter. I understand situational things where we're saving lives and, you know, we're trying to help people out that are dying, but there's still a process. You gotta have borders. You gotta have control. What is your take? And by the way, let listeners know you're 14 and we're having this conversation. Go ahead.
Well, okay, if you're going to use the whole, you know, there's bad apples and everything, then obviously I feel like you should be for immigration, and here's why. Because when people come to our country, you know, obviously there's going to be people who have malicious intent, regardless of what the situation is. Now, you brought up being police and having bad apples. I don't think that that should even be a thing, because you're police. Your job is to do the right thing every time. Because that is literally what you're supposed to do.
So's a teacher. So's a military person. So's a basketball player. So is a mailman. So is the FedEx guy. So is the UPS guy.
No, there's a difference. When you're a police, you're there for justice and protection.
When you're a doctor, you're there to save lives and there's bad doctors. When you're a priest, you're there to pray and they're doing bad things sometimes too.
My stance on that is that police have all of this power and they have all of these, you know, leniencies they get towards the law. And you should not abuse that. You cannot say you cannot be a police officer and be a bad apple, because then therefore, if one out of 10 police officers are a bad apple and those 9 other police officers claim to be good and they're following what their protocol is, yet they allow that one cop to sit there and to be racist or to sit there and be discriminatory and to sit there and abuse their powers, that makes all 10 bad cops. That's why my stance on cops having bad apples, you cannot be a bad apple and be a cop. That's not fair.
You can't control what someone else is going to do.
No, but I can control what I do about what they do. If you came up to my friend Sally and you told her that you're ugly, Sally, and you walked away, well, I can choose to do one of two things. I can choose to ignore it and enable your behavior and sit there and let you act that way. Or I can, too, walk up to you, tell you what you did was wrong, tell you how you can fix it. And if you don't fix it, I go to someone higher than you that's more in charge of you.
Okay, so we can agree on a lot of things. And I'm going to give you a solution for cops. I'm going to give you a solution for all of that. But let me go ahead and lay it out, because I know we're getting short on time. My belief is that if you paid police more money and you paid the military more money and you paid teachers more money and you required more training, more education, and don't pay them $30,000 a year. And nothing wrong with you listeners out there make $30,000 a year. But when someone's out there protecting and serving and supposed to do the right thing, they need to be paid more than $30,000 a year. It can't look like, because this is what it looks like with people making $30,000 a year. Well, I couldn't really do get a good job, so I'm just going to become a cop. Or I can't be a lawyer or doctor, it's too hard, so I'm just going to be a teacher. Or I don't want to get in trouble and I can't find something I like, so I'm just going to join the military. Those three positions have turned into the, I couldn't do what I wanted, I'll settle for this. And therefore you have more bad people in those groups than you would normally. And so I think if you hired their paid like an attorney and a doctor, I wouldn't mind someone that's teaching our kids to get paid like a damn attorney or doctor. I wouldn't mind somebody who is protecting and serving the community and doing the right things, not being racist, not pulling over
but
and harassing
using
people.
Hold your on. Logic.
Hold on. If we had that money to do that and you stuck everybody through more training, more testing, more education, you're going to less likely have buttholes out there that do stupid shit that give a bad name for everybody when it's only a handful. That's the problem we have with teachers, cops, and our military. They're underpaid, they're undereducated, they're undertrained, and because they need them, they accept anybody who can fog a mirror. You go, they're like, yep, you got a job. And that's the problem. Would you agree?
Using your logic, saying that they get paid more, like saying like, okay, well, taking what they have, they get, just using like a example, small numbers, they get paid $10 a year, right? Okay, well, if I up their pay to like 30, right, there's going to be more people wanting to go to that job. Therefore, there's going to be more bad apples than there is
but
now. That,
but you're missing. But now you have more
now
people
you
applying
have to,
and you can interview more people, right? And you pick the better ones through the interview process, the testing, and the education. We're on the same page.
But that all costs much more money.
And here's where you ready? You ready? You ready? Where you get rid of the money?
And you're gonna
hold on. Here's where you get rid of the money. You ready? Or how you find the money? You get rid of the United States Postal Service. That's one. We don't need it. We got FedEx. We got private mail. End it. Two. Are you ready? Brace yourself. Reduce welfare with drug testing. If they're doing drugs and they're riding around in a Lexus or a Beamer, but they're on food stamps and they won't apply for a job, eliminate that shit. But if they're not on drugs and they need it for assistance to help them, keep it. Regulate it more. There's money. You ready for step three? Have some kind of entertainment tax. Movies, sports, a small little fee that takes dollars in there and gives back to the community positions like police, teachers, military. Done. There's your money. You can also cut out a lot of these like little small town BS jobs. Like we need 14 people to check if our permit here in Birmingham. We don't need that many people. One would be fine. You can eliminate some of those government jobs and find money to get higher qualified candidates. Like you said, less problems finding the better people in interviews, educating them, training them. So we have less issues. Correct? Look at that. We full circle agree.
Who's saying hi? But with them, we never finished immigration. There's going to be people with malicious intents, you know, with immigration, of course, that's bound to happen. It's the world we live in. But I think that, you know, being an open and considerate person, regardless of what their intentions are, because you never know, you know, sometimes being the bigger person and giving them the benefit of the doubt can make people have better reasons. You know, it can take their malicious intent and turn it into good intent. That's why in my mind, if we're more open about immigration, we're more open, like, yeah, border control, yeah, but as strict really in such a long and intense process, I think being open to maybe having an area separated from the United States of housing those people and helping them get back on their feet while making them go through the whole entire process to live in our country would be a good idea, because then therefore they have a place to stay, food to eat, and they have, you know, they're making money. You can make them do, you know, jobs and volunteer work, and they can get paid or whatever. But then they also have, you know, this idea of what it's like living in the United States while they're getting their green card or while they're getting, you know, whatever it is they're getting. Then they can actually decide, okay, well, do I really want to stick to this process or do I really want to, you know, go to somewhere else?
Well, listen, you are so wise beyond your years, London. We have adult conversations. And what's funny is I always share the story when you were how old were you when the fish guy would come over, Jerry?
Oh my God. I was like, God, we moved to that house. Five? I was like seven. No, I was seven. Like seven.
He would come to the, you know, we had this huge fish tank in our house and then I had one at work.
Huge.
And this guy, Jerry, would come to the house and clean the fish tank. And then he would show up to my place of business and go, hey man, your family needs a reality show, but bigger than that, London, like, dude, she's seven and I feel like she's 18. We have adult conversations and she's seven. I said, I know, London's beyond her years. So kudos to you, London. Don't change anything about yourself. Stay the course. Don't give in. Don't give an ounce of energy to the haters out there. They don't fucking deserve it. Don't give it to them. They don't deserve it. If they want to hate on you, use that as fuel to make yourself better and let them watch you grow. Don't give them anything. Stay positive. Change the world, girl. That's a wrap here on Family Talk. Thank you, London. Love you. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Damn, damn, True Underdog. Damn, damn.